appreciate Brother Daniel and Brother Todd and all the preachers that's been here this week to help us and those that have sung and blessed our hearts. Appreciate some of my people even coming to be in the service tonight. We're glad that you're here and you continue to pray that God will accomplish His divine will in the course of this meeting. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our fathers, we bow in your presence. We do thank you for the day, for the blessings of it. I pray that you'll forgive us, cleanse us of every sin. Lord, we are aware that you're holy, you're righteous. You cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray that nothing shall be between us and Thee. Thank you, Lord, for this day, for the blessings, the mercies of it. For these that are here tonight, thank you for the songs that have been sung, that have lifted up our hearts in worship and praise to you. Thank you for this church, for this dear pastor and his dear wife. And I pray your blessings on him and all his labors for Christ. Bless each of these men of God. Bless them in their respective places of service. And dear God, we do pray for revival to come. Lord, I pray that in these dark, evil days, you'll be pleased to lift up a standard against the flood tide of iniquity. I pray, Lord, that you'll accomplish your divine purpose in this hour. May there be no parade in the flesh. May the Lord Jesus alone receive praise, honor, and glory. And when we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us, that God has said something to us. I pray for those tonight that should be among us, that are not saved, that have never been to Calvary by faith. Should there be those here tonight that are not saved, may this be the hour they lay down their arms of rebellion to find mercy, grace, and peace with the Lord. Revive those of us that are saved. Warm our hearts. Help us to draw nigh to Thee, that You may draw nigh to us.
Yes,
all that You're pleased to do, we will give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, yes, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen.
Amen.
I want to speak to you tonight from this verse, Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I do appreciate the song the children sang. I'm glad also that I know who Jesus is. We live in a day when there are many people who preach a false Christ. There are many Christs that are being preached, but it's not the Bible of the Christ of the New Testament that is revealed in the Word of God. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. There are physical changes. I'm sure that all of us undergo those kind of changes. And sometimes in the morning, Brother Daniel, when I wake up, I don't feel quite as good as I used to. And I know that there are changes, physical changes, that comes to all of us. We watch our family members, our loved ones, leave this world. And when we think about even them, just the thought of them, leaves a void in our heart and a pain just to remember them. Many of our forefathers told us before they went to heaven what Christ meant to them, how precious He was. And tonight if we could hear them speak from beyond the skies, we would hear them say the half was never told me. We do go through changes. Our bodies wear out. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever, He thrilled my heart in the days of my youth. As I told you last evening, it will be 55 years ago, this coming Tuesday, when God put His pure grace in my heart. And all the joy and the thrill of being saved by His grace.
Amen.
In the days of my young manhood, He thrilled me. In the days of my middle age, He thrilled me. And whatever state I'm in tonight is still thrills me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have heaven and an eternal face-to-face view of Christ to look forward to. What a blessed hour when faith shall give way to sight. I shall behold Him in all of His glory. There are spiritual changes. Sometimes there is joy that turns into sadness. Sometimes there are those who are once close to God but are far off. There have been a lot of spiritual casualties on this narrow road. There are those who used to love to pray, but now prayer is not delightful at all. There are those that used to love to come to the house of God, but coming to church is not a priority. It's not even a pleasure. It is a dread. And so there are those who change spiritually. Robert Robinson correctly wrote, prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love. William Capra, that great songwriter, the author There Is a Fountain, who wrote many, many of the great hymns we sing today, was often given to fits of depression, especially before he was saved.
Right.
And then after he was saved, the devil would often tempt him. He was the next door neighbor to John Newton. He liked to word the life out of John Newton when sometimes such depression would come on him. As a matter of fact, when William Capra was dying, he said, "Heaven, heaven, I did make it after all." But the devil, through oppression, disturbed him greatly in his life. One night he went out, was going to commit suicide by jumping off the London Bridge. But the fog settled in, and the cab driver couldn't even find the London Bridge. And so he went back to the place where he stayed, and he wrote these words, "Where is the blessedness I once knew? I hate the sins that drove thee from my breast. Return, O heavenly messenger, sweet rest. There are national changes. Kingdoms have trembled and fell. And the freedom even of America is challenged like never before. Except for the remnant, we would have already perished. But Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Amen.
"For no changes can attend Jehovah's love. He is the same to every sinner who will come to Him. He is the same Christ, but to whom the Apostle Paul was revealed, and Christ was revealed to Saul of Tarsus. He is the same Christ. There are no changes with Him." Now the context of this verse is an admonition to those that have authority, who have rule over us, that speak the Word of God. And we're admonished to follow their faith, considering the end of their conversation. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, will respect those whom God entrusts with as leaders among His people. And we're to follow them as long as they follow the Lord. There are many shining examples in Hebrews chapter 11, especially in that chapter, the heroes of faith. But the greatest example, of course, is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The author and the finisher of our faith, looking unto Jesus. If you profess faith in Christ, if you profess to know Him, it is absolutely essential that you walk with Him. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." And the evidence of a heart that is right with God is a heart that has been made pure by the blood of Christ. His commandments, His Word, it's not grievous. It's not some terrible thing to bear. But the joy of our delight and our heart is to do the will of God. And as the psalmist said, "As the hart panteth after the water brook, so does my soul thirst after Thee, the living God, more, more about Jesus would I know, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection, been made conformable to His death. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. Christ is always reverent. His occupation has changed. He left the throne of glory and came down to this world in the days of His flesh. But He has gone back into heaven and is now seated at the Father's right hand. And someday He's coming for His church that He paid for with His own blood. But He is now in heaven interceding for us, mediating for us. There was one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We don't look to some saint, departed saint, to intercede, to pray for us. We don't look to the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary is in heaven because she knew the same Savior we know. Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Savior, my God." And the only way to heaven, of course, is through Jesus Christ. Whether you're Mary, the mother of Christ on the physical side, there's but one way to heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is revelant in every age. In Revelation chapter 1, He is declared to be Alpha and Omega. He's the A through Z of all truth in every age. There's never been a time in the history of the world when His message was out of date, when it was irrelevant. Just as the alphabet compasses every word in communication, written or spoken, Jesus embodies the message for every age. He is Alpha and Omega. His gospel is never out of date. We don't know what the headlines will be tomorrow, but we do know this. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He spans time and eternity. Prior to His appearing in history, all events were dated B.C. And after His coming, they're referred to as A.D. Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And whether the infidels and the atheists, the secularists won't admit it or not, you can't even be married, and you can't even receive a diploma from a university without acknowledging His birth. Now, I'm sure that there are those who would love to change all of that, but it won't change the fact that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, the eternal results produced by the gospel are the same in every age. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That is as the Bible reveals Him. And on the other hand, he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, there was not one gospel for the first century, and another gospel for the second century, and another one for the 20th century, and another gospel for the 21st century. We live in very strange days. I see on a lot of signs, Baptist church signs. First of all, there is contemporary worship. Then there's traditional worship. And then for the people that can't decide which menu they want, there's blended worship. All that's far into this book. We're not going to sing 21 different songs in heaven. We're going to sing the same song the first century sang. If the Lord raptures His church in the 21st century, there won't be one crowd over here singing Amazing Grace. And there won't be another group singing I Build a Bridge. We'll all be singing Worthy is the Lamb, for Thou wast slain and hath redeemed us unto God by Thy own blood. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He is relevant to every race. John 1:14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Jesus was not merely a man. He was man, representative of man, as the Son of Man. And by assuming a human form, He represented every race in every generation. Red, yellow, black or white. They are precious in His sight. He became man. He assumed a body of flesh and then commissioned His disciples to preach the gospel to every creature and to make disciples of all nations. Look through history, through church history, and you'll find that every time real revival came, it came through praying and preaching. It had pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save those which believe. Someone has said that prayer is the fuse and preaching is the fusion. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. Men are not going to be saved by theatrics or whatever man can invent. They're going to be saved by the preaching of the Word, by the preaching of this Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. His message never changes. And there must always be the prayers of the saints with the preaching of the gospel. We read of that early church. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That is, they placed emphasis on doctrine. It does matter what you believe. As a matter of fact, every man has some kind of set of beliefs, some system of beliefs. If a person don't believe anything, that's their doctrine. They don't believe anything. But every person has some kind of system of doctrine by which they live. And there was fellowship. They thought important to be in the fellowship of the church in those days. And it's certainly in our days. So much more as you see the day approaching. That is the day of the Lord. We're admonished not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is. When the Lord saved me by grace, there was an automatic, instantaneous love for the church. I'm a member of the General Assembly of the Church of the Firstborn, which are written in heaven. And I'm a member of a local church. I do have a boat to fish out of. And I do believe that you're right with God. You're a New Testament Christian. You love the church. And the church is where you receive strength and nourishment. Thank God for the church. I'm not a member of a worship center. I'm a member of a church. The Lord loved the church. He gave Himself for the church. He's going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. I've said before, sometimes I hear people say, I've never seen an ugly bride. I've seen a few that come dangerously close. But I do not think I've ever seen an unclean bride. He's going to present to Himself a glorious church without spot or without wrinkle. And I do not hang my head in shame and apologize for being identified with the church. Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. And they continued in prayers. Prayer meetings are not out of date. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And He said that if two or more of us should agree as anything touching upon earth, and that if we abide in Christ, and Christ abides in us, then it would be done of our Father which is in heaven. The Spirit of God will soon depart, and preaching will have little effect when we cease to pray. Jesus is relevant in every need. While technology changes and have taken place through the centuries, man is basically the same. We just found different ways to commit sin through the inventions of men. But the same sins they committed in that antediluvian world are the same sins that are being committed even today. Only Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Man lives and dies, but not Christ. He still has the same resources to save and to convert. And I don't think that we can exaggerate the darkness of our day. I think every day it's about as dark as it'll get. Though I know it's not. And after the rapture of the church, you talk about darkness. I do believe that even before the rapture of the church, we will be crying and begging and pleading. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. The Holy Ghost is quite able to convict of sin, to enlighten and to convert.
Amen.
And God can send revival in the midst of all of it. Why? Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now you see, the trick of the devil is to get us to look at all the filth and the sewer and the apostasy and the indifference of our day. And Jesus did say that the love of many shall wax cold because iniquity doth abound. And it's possible to get our eyes on all of that and forget to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now I want to tell you about the sewer, about the filth of this world, above all the diabolical plans that have been carried out by the devil, the god of this world. Jesus Christ is at the Father's right hand, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Christ is always competent. Words and names in the Bible are always significant. And they reveal certain things about the thoughts of God, even in a person's name. And in our text, the one name that does not change is identified as Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. Jesus wasn't the human name of our Lord. When he entered into his mother's womb, entered into human history through his mother's womb, the words of the angel of Mary were clear. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. At the very thought of the name Jesus, Mary said, my soul hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And the hope to a fallen race is the fact that it can still be said, Jesus Christ, the same. And what a wonderful thing it was when the glorious news came that He dwelt among us and we beheld His glory. What a wonderful thing when John the Baptist looked at that day and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The name Jesus is called Yeshua in Greek. And in the Hebrew, Joshua, the name means Savior. You need a Savior. Every man needs a Savior. No one can save themselves. If we had to get to heaven by our own efforts, not a one of us would make it to Emmanuel's land. Our sins separate us from God. Mountains of sin that were so high, no man could scale up the mountain of sin to reach God. Oceans of sin separate us from God. And no man could swim the ocean. And no man could bridge the mighty gulf. But thank God, He came down to us. He didn't meet us halfway. He came down to where we were, humbled Himself, and became obedient, even to death, even the death of the cross. The Holy Child, Jesus. In His childhood, He was called the Holy Child, Jesus. And in His active life, in His ministry, it was Jesus the Savior who healed the sick, cast out devils.
Oh, yeah.
And then before, when He went to the cross, It was then that Pontius Pilate said, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" And even over his head on the cross was written the inscription, "Jesus, King of the Jews." And he felt all the wrath of God against our sin on the cross. The weight of the guilt of this entire world. The weight of the darkness and the depravity of man was poured out upon our Lord at Calvary. God spared Abraham's son on Mount Moriah, but God spared not His own Son. And it was as if God the Father pulled down the shades of eternity. And this earth was covered in 3 hours of darkness when Christ the Mighty Maker died for man, the creature sin. And thank God at the end of those 3 hours, He cried, "It is finished." Not "I'm finished." "It is finished." He bore the weight of our sin and made it possible, thank God, that a holy God could reconcile fallen man. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus. Thou should call His name Jesus. That's His title and glory. Him hath God exalted to be a Prince and a Savior. He is called the Savior of the body. We adore Him as the only wise God and our Savior. He is able to save them to the uttermost. Those that come to Him, should He ever live to make intercession for them. And as Jesus, He shall come again. This same Jesus that ye see ascend up into heaven shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen Him go. The same Jesus who walked by the blue sea of Galilee, who walked up the sunny slopes of the Mount of Olives, who was buried in Joseph's tomb and walked out on the third morning and after 40 days ascended to heaven, this same Jesus is coming again. Not another Christ. The Christ of this Bible. The Christ we know. The Christ we love. Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And Stephen, that first deacon, was being stoned to death. I imagine as those rocks pelted against his body and through the gurgle of blood, I think Stephen might have said, "Hit me again. I see Jesus standing at the Father's right hand. It is Jesus who is in glory. Precious name. Oh, how sweet. Sweetest note in seraph song. Sweetest name on mortal tongue. Sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." And as the Son of God, He is Christ. Jesus Christ. That's His divine title. And it means Messiah, the Anointed One. He is anointed to be prophet, priest, and king. Every man needs a prophet. That is someone to reveal the way of God to them. And that's what Jesus is doing. Jesus, you remember on the coast of Caesarea Philippi, asked the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" And some answered, some are saying, "You're Elijah, John the Baptist." But He said, "But whom do ye say that I am?" And Simon Peter correctly said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Salvation is a divine revelation. There are millions, even billions of people in this world that don't love Him, that don't know Him, that don't want to know Him. And there are those who may write nice things about Him, but in reality, don't know Him. But if He lives in your heart, He is the most precious name in earth and in heaven. Christ is the revelation of God. And the Holy Ghost always reveals the things of Christ. And He is Christ the same as the priest. He represents the divine sacrifice that every man needs. He who in His own body bare our sins. He became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God. To wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. I need no other argument. It is enough. Jesus died for me. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And then He is Jesus at Christ as King. He's coming someday in the power of His glory. Every person needs someone to triumph over sin. And the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Who is your King? Everybody has a King.
Yes.
You're following somebody.
Yes,
either the God of this world or the Christ of heaven. But I want to praise God tonight. My anchor holds and grips the solid rock.
Yes.
A dear lady was dying one night, and her daughter that attended her mother's bedside as she was dying, heard her mother say, "Bring." She brought the baby, and the mother shook her head no. And again that mother whispered, "Bring." They brought her a glass of water. She shook her head no. But then one of those daughters put their ears down close to her dying mother's lips and heard her say, "Bring forth the royal diadem and crown Him Lord of all." Oh, but the under sacred throne, when His feet may fall, we'll join the everlasting song and crown Him Lord of all. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.